Look, man, you know if you go to prison, you sure as hell ain't gonna pay no fine.
That was Corey Harris with his song called Basshead. That's from his album Greens from the Garden. And if you're a blues person and kind of like some a little mix between some roots blues and some progressive blues, I tell you what, it's hard to go wrong with Corey Harris. He's really good. Like I said, that's his album Greens from the Garden. It's one of his earlier albums. And go by and pick it up, iTunes, Amazon, anywhere. Hey, listen, guys, this is our first podcast for New World Out of Order. Glad you guys joined us. Going to be talking about a lot of different situations in the world today. First subject we're going to cover is banks. We do have a website, www.nwo3.com/blog. Currently just have a blog website. We also have a forum. You can link to the forum from that website. Once again, that's www.nwo3.com. We also have a telephone number we'd like for you to call in and comment on the show, leave some requests. That number is 912-373-6543, 912-373-6543. Okay, well, let's go ahead and get on with the show, and once again, glad you guys joined us. The first subject that we're going to do is we're going to talk about banks. A lot of people, it's not really a subject that most people get too excited about. It's not anything that ever used to kind of float my boat a whole lot. But nowadays, we really need to pay attention to what's going on with the banks. We need to understand what's going on with the banks. And we're not talking about your local bank. We're primarily talking about Federal Reserve, the large, large banks, the central banks in the world, of which the Federal Reserve system is the U.S.'s central bank. They have a lot of impact on everyone's lives today, and a lot of people just don't realize it. Federal Reserve, say, is a central bank. It's a private banking system, though. A lot of people believe that it's part of our government. Rightly so, but being called the Federal Reserve System and being so closely tied with our government and working so closely with our government that it appears. But the Federal Reserve is a private banking system. It consists of 12 banks throughout the United States. They are privately owned. Their primary purpose is that they create and control the U.S. monetary supply. They don't create all the money. They create the essential money, and they administer the policy, the monetary policy that all banks in the country follow. A lot of people would think, well, why is this a bad thing? Well, you need to understand the premise of the Federal Reserve System. The Federal Reserve Act was signed in 1913. And it is a central bank. What it does is when the United States needs money, the government goes to the Federal Reserve and it sells them treasury bonds. And just for an example, let's just say that they request $10 billion. So they print up $10 billion worth of treasury bonds, which in reality aren't worth the paper that they're printed on because there's nothing backing them up. Only the government's word that they're going to pay this back. And it's a promissory note. It's what it is. So they give them the treasury bonds, the $10 billion worth of treasury bonds, and the Federal Reserve deposits $10 billion into the U.S. federal government's account, usually with inside the Federal Reserve or inside of other large banks, such as Bank of America or J.P. Morgan or Wells Fargo or, some of the large banks. So what you have here is $10 billion that was put into circulation that was just made up. The Federal Reserve, they have no basis for this money. If the federal government says we need money, they'll just deposit money in their account. And it's all done electronically. It doesn't come from anywhere. They just make it. It's pretty powerful. But that's probably not going to be that alarming because in order to make any money, someone has to make it. It would be nice and it would be logical if the money was based on something, but it doesn't have to be. I'm not a person that's for being on the gold standard. But in this case, currently we're not on the gold standard and the Federal Reserve just makes this money up. Now, the bad thing about this is there is interest associated with this money. So if you can imagine, the United States requests $10 billion, which the Federal Reserve supplies. Well, immediately, there is interest on top of that $10 billion. So just for the sake of an example, if we borrow $10 billion from the Federal Reserve, we immediately owe, say, $12 billion. It wouldn't be quite that high, but based on whatever the interest rate on the treasury bonds. So in other words, but the point here is when the money is created, it's always worth less than you owe on it. To say it a different way, you always owe more money than you have. If you request $10 billion, they give you $10 billion, well, you immediately owe $12 billion. So you need to understand this. This is why the country is in the economic situation it is as far as being bankrupt. Now, it gets even better because the Federal Reserve System operates on what's called a fractional reserve. And this is the part of the monetary policy that they set for the country. So all banks in the United States operate off the fractional reserve system. Now, what the fractional reserve system is it says that a bank is only required to retain 10% of their assets and they can loan out the rest. So in our example, let's just say that we've got the $10 billion. It was put into, let's say, Wells Fargo. Well, now you would think, okay, now Wells Fargo, they only have to keep 10% of that and they can loan out 90% of that. So they'll keep $1 billion and they'll loan out $90 billion. That doesn't seem too bad. It seems pretty fair. It's not the way it works, though. I want you to think that way. That's not the way it works, though. Since they're only allowed to keep, in actuality, the fractional reserve rate currently is 8%. You know, for ease of our examples, we're going to say 10%. Wells Fargo only has to retain 10%. So if they get a $10 billion deposit, they can keep that $10 billion deposit and they can loan out $90 billion. Now, which would you rather do? Keep $1 billion of actual money and loan out $9 billion of other actual money? Actual according to your assets, to your records. Or would you rather keep $10 billion of real money and make up $90 billion that doesn't exist ever and it never will exist? They'll make up $90 billion and that's what they'll loan out. It doesn't exist. So you see, the premise here is that the fractional reserve system allows every bank to make money, not make money as a profit, which they do as well based on the interest, but they can manufacture money. You really need to think about this. This is not good. This causes extreme leverage on our monetary supply to where if, you know, essentially Wall Street, what really took Wall Street down, the credit default swaps, when we get into a situation like that where things start failing because of the leverage, then you're in real trouble. Because the Federal Reserve is not the as high as it gets as far as central banks. The Federal Reserve actually reports to a higher central bank, which is called the Bank of International Settlements. Most people have never heard of. Bank of International Settlements is located in Basel, Switzerland, and it was formed in, I believe it was 1930. And its original purpose was it was the bank that was in charge of taking the deposits from Germany after World War I to finance the reconstruction of Europe. And they would depository for those deposits, and they would also administer the accounts and distribute the money. So anyway, that was the purpose of the Bank of International Settlements, was really to be depository for funds for the European reconstruction as a result of World War I. You know, the reconstruction from World War I has been over for quite some time, as you can imagine. Well, the Bank of International Settlements is still there, but it doesn't operate under the original purpose anymore. Bank of International Settlements is the king daddy of all central banks. Bank of International Settlements only has as customers other central banks. It does not deal with any individual, any company, any government. It deals directly with central banks, and it makes the policy and administers the policy to these other central banks, which administers that policy to that central bank's country. So you can imagine this is a very, very powerful organization. And what's very surprising about it is the Bank of International Settlements does not have to answer to any government in the world. Hopefully this has raised some eyebrows here for anyone who's listening that didn't know, did not understand this. And just to review real quick, the central banking system, they're actually in every country in the world except for two countries, and those two countries are Monaco and Andorra, I believe, which is a small country in Africa. Federal Reserve System is, you know, a central bank. What they do is they manufacture and control the money for the U.S. U.S. wants money. They have to borrow it from them. The Federal Reserve makes that money up. Doesn't exist. They just make it up. Loan it to the U.S. government, you know, at interest. The interest is on the treasury bonds that the U.S. government gives the Federal Reserve in return for the deposit. You know, so if you borrow $10 billion, you immediately owe more than that. And for example, we said $12 billion. And also, you know, every bank in the country, because of the monetary policy that they work off of called the fractional reserve system, every bank in the country manufactures money. They make money. from nothing because they're only required to retain, in actuality, 8% of their reserves, and they can loan out, you know, the other 92%. You know, if they get the $10 billion deposited in their bank, they are allowed to loan out $90 billion. Now, the $90 billion, you've got to understand this, does not exist anywhere. It's purely made up. Now, if you and I were to go out here and make money, you know, that's a serious federal offense, and we're going to jail for a long time. But the banks are allowed to make money. There is no difference. You know, the only difference is if a person counterfeits money, they're actually printing physical money. But the banks create just electronic money. But it's the same thing. They can do the same thing with it. If you weren't aware of this, are aware now, and you understand it, and that it's got hopefully a little bit pissed off because this is not the way it's supposed to be. And I'll tell you what, we're going to take a little break here. We're going to throw in, you know, something a little lighter on you. Kind of think about what we just talked about. When we come back, we'll give you a little bit of history on the central banking system in the United States. Okay, so during our break, we're going to let you listen to a little bit of comedy from a good old guy named Willie P. Richardson.
Hello?
You the one that advertised a lot for selling the newspaper?
Yes, I sure am.
Okay, well, can you tell me something about it?
Yeah, I sure can. What do you want to know about it?
Well, I don't know. That's all right. Well, is it spreading out a lot?
Oh, yeah, it really is. Now, it's going to need some, you know, landscaping, maybe a little bulldozer work on it, you know, but the soil real good.
Okay, well, yeah, it says that you can do some owner finance. Can you do that on it?
Yes, you got pretty good credit.
Pretty good what?
Credit. You know, you always paid your bills on time, you know, paid them.
Oh, yeah, I said, as far as I know, I said, our credit is perfect.
Yeah. Well, that's good, because I wouldn't want to have to take it back after I sold it to you.
All right, listen, you don't have to worry about that, because we pay our bills on time. You ain't going to have to worry about taking it back.
Well, don't get mad. I just been having all kinds. Sir?
I'm not mad.
Well, don't get that way, because I've been having all kind of crazy people call out about this lot, and I ain't got time to fool with nobody unless they're serious about it, and they can pay for it after they get it.
Oh, no, I'm serious about it, but we're looking for a nice lot. Where is it located, anyway?
Well, where'd you want your lot? Where was you looking for one at?
Well, we wanted something about out of the city limits there in town there.
Yeah, that's about right. About a mile. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, what size is it?
What size were you looking for?
Well, we need at least an acre, maybe two. Have you got anything like that?
Yes, I believe it could be that big.
It could be that big. What do you mean? What size is it?
Well, I ain't really for sure exactly.
You got land for sale and you ain't not sure what size it is? What do you mean?
Well, it's according to how thin you spread it.
I do what?
Well, I got it out here in the back of three dump trucks. It's that red colored dirt. Got some nice grass and bushes all mixed in with it. Ain't no rocks in it either. It's a real fine lot's what I'm talking about. We can put it right here in town, out in the country, anywhere you want it. And the size be determined by how thin you spread it. You can make it pretty big if you spread it about an inch thick, I imagine.
Well, what are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Well, I bought it from a fella out here that's in the dump truck business, and the truck goes with the deal if you want them.
What are you? Are you crazy?
No. Do what?
You say you got a lot here. Is it a classified estate real estate talking about three dump truck loads? I'm going to call the newspaper and tell you run a phony ad, man.
No, it ain't phony. You can come out here and look at them in the back of these trucks for yourself if you want to. I ain't lying about it.
Okay, that was Willie P. Richardson in a little skit called Lot for Sale. If you haven't heard of Willie P. Richardson before, he's just a funny guy, been around forever. He does these prank phone calls like this. He's just hilarious. So that one was from an album called Greatest Phone Pranks, I believe, Willie P. Richardson. Okay, so get back on the Federal Reserve System here. Federal Reserve System, just a few facts here. It's not a part of the government. It's a private banking system. And this ought to really piss you off, too, since they create and deal with our money and loan our money out to other countries and stuff. The Federal Reserve will not allow Congress to conduct a complete audit of its books. And until recently, they haven't been able to do any audit. Here recently, they have been able to do a partial audit. Federal Reserve System will not divulge the names of its all of its owners. So we don't even know who owns these banks. So you can imagine, this should really piss you off. And like I said, when the Federal Reserve creates money for the U.S., the debt associated with that money is greater than the money itself. So you're always in the hole. You're always in the hole. So a lot of people are saying that the reason that we're in the situation that we are today is because of citizens, you and I, you know, living beyond our means. And a lot of us have been living beyond our means. But that's not why we're in this situation. That doesn't cause this. That's actually a result of this. You know, the Federal Reserve System, or the central banking system in the U.S., goes back a long way. When this country was founded, Thomas Jefferson, he warned us about the central banking systems, because in England, they already had the Bank of England, which was, at the time, the world's largest central bank. They were extremely corrupt and operating under a lot of the same premises that they do today, designed to drain money out of governments. And you got to imagine, in order to do this, you know, the politicians have to be in on it, and they are in on it. And of course, they don't do this just for free. They do make money off of this. Okay, so, you know, if we look back at some of the history, there's just some great quotes out here that from Thomas Jefferson. Let me just give you one here. This is from Thomas Jefferson. The central bank is an institution of the most deadly hostility existing against the principles and form of our Constitution. I am an enemy to all banks discounting bills and notes from anything but coin. If the American people allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all of their property until their children will wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. This was Thomas Jefferson back in the 1700s. They had lived this before. They knew better. They designed our government around this, and they warned people to always question your government and never allow any private organization to be responsible for the manufacture and the control of your money. And the things they warned us against, of course, in this quote here, was it said the banks and corporations that will grow up around these people will deprive the people of their property until the children wake up homeless. We're very well on the way to that. The homeless society is growing more and more every day. In reality, the wealth of people, what people own, is diminishing every day. Except for, of course, the very, very, very rich. This is by design, because we allowed the central banking system back into our government. They came in, Jefferson, when he was president, the first bank of the U.S. was a central bank, private organization that operated just like the Federal Reserve today. Thomas Jefferson became president. He shut it down. He revoked their charter and shut it down. Well, you know, this banking system now, and at the time it was driven out of England. Central point of the central banks back then, and pretty much it still is today. The Bank of England still swings a pretty big stick in the economic world in the country. Although, like I say, the King Daddy is the Bank of International Settlements. You know, they didn't give up. They came in with the second bank of the U.S. Andrew Jackson, who a lot of people have never heard about in this regards, put up an extreme fight and was elected primarily on his platform of being against the second bank of the U.S. and how they preyed on the government and the people of the country. He revoked their charter. He got rid of that second bank of the U.S. They didn't give up. The next go-around was with Lincoln. Of course, Lincoln assumed a huge debt because of the Civil War. So actually, the Bank of England came over and offered him you know, what they thought was a sweet deal to finance the Reconstruction from the Civil War. Well, Lincoln was no dummy. Like I said, he listened to and he read the words of Jefferson and Jackson, and he remembered them. He knew this was not a good idea, so he told them no. What he would do, what he did, was he created the greenback. Greenback was a money that was created and controlled by the government. You know, the Bank of England, under the auspices of Rothschild, the Rothschild family, they sent a memo over here, and they just let them know that, hey, we can't control the greenback, so we can't have this. Well, Lincoln was eliminated, and so was the greenback. I've got a couple of quotes here that I'm going to read to you in a few minutes about. There's one particularly pertaining to the greenback. You know, keeping on the storyline of the history of the central bank, The next go around, you know, the central banking system were fighting all along and strategizing on how to get back in the United States, because the United States was had a lot of potential for growth and generation of wealth. So the next go around was the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, which they got passed. Woodrow Wilson was the president at the time. Afterwards, after he left the presidency, he definitely regretted this. So I'm gonna give you just a few quotes here, and you can read. I've got a short little bit on my blog website, and that is www.nwo3.com/blog. NWO3 is, you know, New World Out of Order. So www.nwo3.com/blog. And you can find a lot of these quotes. And also, you know, on here, I'll also provide links to some of the resources. And it's just a small percentage of the resources that I use. And I'll be happy to give anybody, you know, any resource that I have, you know, but I didn't want to actually fill the page up with, hundreds and hundreds of links here. So anyway, get back to these quotes I was talking to you about. Thomas Jefferson, again, as he was president, said, "I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. Already they have raised up our monetary aristocracy that has set the government at defiance. The issuing power of money should be taken away from the banks and restored to the people to whom it properly belongs." Like, so that was Thomas Jefferson when he was president. Now here's one. Now everybody listen to this one now. This is a quote from Henry Ford. Henry Ford was a businessman. Henry Ford was about maximizing profits. Henry Ford was about moving forward. He was about progress. Henry Ford would not have been able to achieve the level of success that he did without the aid of banks at the time, in order, because he had to borrow to build the factories. And well, here's a quote from Henry Ford. "It is well that people of the nation do not understand our banking and monetary system. For if they did, I believe there would be a revolution before morning." Let me say that again. Here's the quote from Henry Ford. "It is well that the people of the nation do not understand our banking and monetary system. For if they did, I believe there would be a revolution before tomorrow morning." That says it all. That says it all right there. Now, if you don't understand our banking and monetary system, or don't believe, you know, what I've been telling you, and that's perfectly fine. In fact, I recommend that no one believe what I'm saying. I recommend that you listen and hopefully realize that, you know, I might be telling the truth, and I want you to research it. So don't believe what I say, research it, okay? Hopefully you'll believe what Henry Ford said. So if he's telling you that if the people of the war, of our country actually knew and understood our banking and monetary system, that they would actually revolt before the morning. Wow. That ought to piss you off. That should get you up off the couch, get you on your computer, and learning about the monetary system, learning what's going on. As soon as you learn this stuff, you will be unstoppable. We have to get the Fed out of our government. We have to get the Fed out of this country. They still exist as private banks, you know. Now, that's not our sole problems. I understand that, but we're just talking about purely the money and the monetary policy here. We have to get rid of the Fed. Some other quotes here that you're going to find interesting are, this is from Senator Barry Goldwater. "Most Americans have no real understanding of the operation of the international monetary lenders. The accounts of the Federal Reserve System have never been audited. It operates outside the control of Congress and manipulates the credit of the United States," which is exactly what Thomas Jefferson warned us against as a result of what they had already lived through in England. Here's a few more quotes here. Got one here by, here's one. I'm not going to go on and on with all these quotes, but this one should impact as much or more than Henry Ford's quote. This is from Sir Josiah Stamp, who was, at the time of this quote, was the president of the Bank of England and the second richest man in Britain. Now, this is from the 1920s. Now, this is from the guy who was the president of the corrupt Central Bank of England. Now, this is his quote. "Banking was conceived in inequity and was born in sin. The bankers own the earth. Take it away from them, but leave them the power to create deposits, and with the flick of the pen, they will create enough deposits to buy it back again. However, take it away from them, and all the great fortunes like mine will disappear, and they ought to disappear, for this would be a happier and better world to live in. But if you wish to remain slaves of the bankers and pay the cost of your own slavery, let them continue to create deposits. That was from the president of the Bank of England. So don't believe me. Believe the president of one of the most corrupt banks in the world. He was telling you this. Now that's a slap in the face. They're actually telling you, knowing that you're not going to do anything about it. But there's nothing more important in this world today, in our country today, than understanding and getting control of our monetary system again. In order to do that, you've got to understand it. So hopefully, by listening to what little bit I'm saying here, it will motivate you to where you'll go out and start investigating. There's a lot of stuff out on the internet. You have to be careful. There's also a lot of things that are just bogus as well. Start off with, as far as money, go to www.themoneymasters.com. And they can pretty well size it up for you. They have a couple of great little movies there. And also, I'm going to recommend Zeitgeist movie. It's called Zeitgeist Addendum, the Zeitgeist Movement. Whether you believe in it or promote it or whatever, that's okay. But I highly recommend that everyone watch the Zeitgeist Addendum movie. I think they have four movies in the Zeitgeist movie series, but the one that I really recommend is the Zeitgeist Addendum. And I have a link to that on, like I say, my website as well. Like I said, the website is nwo3.com/blog. And hopefully we're going to get rid of the blog here shortly and just have NWO3. But, all right, so we're going to wrap this up right now, give you a little bit more music to wrap it up with. And listen, I'm glad you guys joined us. I hope brought you something that inspired you a little bit to look into some of these things, to motivate you. And we'll be back with another podcast. And I think our next podcast is probably going to be part of the 9/11 situation. The 9/11 situation is huge. It is something that is dividing the country. You either question the real story or you totally deny it. There's really hardly any in between there. You know, we're probably going to break up the 9/11 discussions into World Trade Center Building 7, then we'll talk about World Trade Centers 1 and 2, we'll talk about the Pentagon, then we can talk about Flight 93 as well. So anyway, thanks for joining us. Go check out the website. Please leave some comments. It is a blog. I also have a forum there. You click on that. Go post some comments in the forum, and let's start discussing things. Anything that I can do, if you refute anything I say, that is fine. I welcome that. I'm not here to get into an argument with anyone. I'm here to teach other people things that I know, and I'm also here to learn what you know. We'd like to have people call in on this show, participate with the recording of the podcast, if you would like to. The number that you can reach us at is 912-373-6543. It's 912-373-6543. And like I say, also go to nwo3.com/blog, and you can also get the contact information there. So anyway, thanks again for joining us, and I hope you enjoy this departing music here. This is going to be a group called Chairlift. It's a great little song called Bruises.
Do handstand.